Now back to Matthew chapter 21, turn there, Matthew 21. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 9. Matthew 21 at verse 9. And the multitudes went before and that followed. This is the Lord coming into town, riding on this donkey, went before and that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. The Son of David came, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. He is the Most High God. He's the Most High God. So I'm going to use as a title, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's always been King because he's God. The Lord Jesus Christ is King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, our Savior, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6. He is the King of kings. We studied in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, verse 16. He is King of kings and Lord of lords by the unchanging, almighty, eternal decree of God. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. He's not Lord or King by something we have done. He's not Lord and King by a democratic process. We're not going to vote him in or vote him out. He's King by God's eternal decree. When he came here as God manifest in the flesh, remember the wise men said, where is he that is born king? He was king when he got here. When he lived among men as the God-man, we always say the God-man mediator, he demonstrated and revealed that he was and is King of all the earth. You remember when those disciples in Matthew chapter 8, we studied not too long ago, when they were in that ship and the storm came up and the Lord was there sleeping as a real man, wearied in body, sleeping, and the disciples all alarmed that they're sinking and the ship is taking in water, and woke him up, said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Oh, ye of little faith. And he stood forth and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. And they said, what manner of man is this? He's king. He's king of all creation. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. He's king of all things. King of all things. He controls the weather, the wind, the waves, the sea, the clouds, all things. So when he came here as God manifest in the flesh, he demonstrated and revealed that he was God of all the earth, King of all the earth. When Pilate brought him forth, we're going to read in a few weeks over in Matthew 26, 27, he said to the people, this same crowd, now this is amazing. Pilate said unto him, behold your king. Remember what they said? Away with him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. This same crowd that said, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now they do a 180 and say, away with him. Crucify him. We only need Caesar. We have no king. We don't want him to be our king. The soldiers in the judgment hall when the Lord was arrested, when they mocked him. You know what character they mocked him as? King. Remember? They put they stripped him of his garments. They put a scarlet robe on him, the collar of royalty. They put a crown of thorns on his head. A king ought to have a crown. They put a scepter, a mock scepter in his right hand, and they bowed the knee and mocked him, said, Hail, King of the Jews. They mocked him as the king. When he died to save his people from their sins, in what character did he die as the king? You remember Pilate wrote that accusation when they crucified someone. If he was a thief, they wrote above his head, he was a thief. or he was a murderer. You know what they wrote over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ? The King of the Jews. And those religious Pharisees got all upset at Pilate. Said, say that he said he was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, no, what I've written, I've written. And they wrote that down in Hebrew. They wrote that down in the Greek. They wrote that down in the Latin, that all could look at him and say, this is the King. The Hebrew language, religious language, the Greek language, the common people's language, the Latin language, the intellectual, all could see and read, he is the King. The King. When he ascended to glory and sat down, when he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the throne of God as our King. Our King. And when he comes again, he's coming back as King, right? You remember our study in the Revelation, behold, he cometh. He cometh. Now I trust that's the confession of all of us here this morning, that Christ is our Lord, our King, our God, and our Savior. I like what the Apostle Thomas said when he looked upon the risen Lord. He said, my Lord and my God. You're my Lord and you're my God. He is God, our Savior. He's all our salvation. He is our King. He's King in salvation too. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Aren't you glad that he's King? We say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is our King, King of kings. Now we see, as we look at the first 11 verses in Matthew 21, we see the Lord of glory has set his face like a flint. He's marching toward the hour appointed of the Father to give his life a ransom for many. You remember, look just across the page in Matthew 20, verse 17, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify. And the third day, God's going to raise him from the dead. The Lord knew exactly why he was going there. He knew exactly what he was going to accomplish. And he knew exactly when he'd be raised again from the dead. This is, if we look at this from here on out to the end of our study in the book of Matthew, this is the Lord's last week upon this earth as the man, Christ Jesus. The last week, 6 days from what we read right here, the Lord is crucified for our sin. And the Lord lays down his life for us willingly. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Over in John chapter 12, where this story is given, it says there that he goes to Jerusalem to observe the Jewish Passover. The Lord Jesus Christ went not only to observe the Passover, but to be our Passover, to be our Passover lamb. Paul writes about it this way, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin in his own body on the tree, and because he suffered the wrath of God due our sin, he passes over us because Christ paid the debt. Hallelujah, he ransomed me. We can sing that. He is the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. Now this event, such an important event, all the Old Testament scriptures tell us that someone is coming. Someone is coming. Now he's here. Now he's here. This event of the Lord entering into Jerusalem as the Lamb of God, as our King, as our God and Savior, is given by all four, what we call the four gospel writers. Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke 19, and John 12. Now why is that significant? This is one of the few events that all four writers point our attention to because it's so important. You remember, Paul writes, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. This is that time. This is that hour appointed of God. Few events of the Lord's earthly ministry are recorded by all four gospel writers, but this one is, because it requires special attention. Special attention. All things must be done to fulfill Scripture, as it says there in Matthew 21, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, and that Zechariah prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord our God dies for our sin according to the Scripture. According to the Scripture. He dies for our sin. How that he dies for our sin according to the Scripture. To him give all the prophets witness. Isaiah writes about him. Jeremiah writes about him. About the Lord coming. The Lord's sacrifice for us. He dies according to the will of God. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, did you put a bookmark there in Matthew 21? And then also turn over back over here to Luke 19. I want you to see something that's added here in Luke 19, verse 28. The Lord goes before them ascending up to Jerusalem. You see that in Luke 19, 28? And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus Christ had ascended to the heavenly Jerusalem. And he ascended up before us. Before us. The Lord always goes before his people. He always goes before us, preparing the way for us. Remember in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In John 10, we read, he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. We studied in Hebrews chapter 6 about our great high priest. I love that study in the book of Hebrews. Our great, great high priest. Seeing we have a great high priest who has entered into the heavenlies, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Hebrews 6:20, he's called the forerunner. The forerunner. The forerunner is entered for us, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then in Hebrews 9:24, we read, for Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us right now. He's gone before. Guarantees our entrance because he's already entered in. The forerunner has entered in for us. Now here's the second thing I want us to look at. Back to Matthew 21. Our Lord has all power and all knowledge over all things. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying, go into a village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them. If any man say aught to you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now here we see the Lord commanding, controlling everything, doesn't he? It's just not that he looked over down in the valley and he saw, I see a colt over there. I see an ass with a colt. It's not that he saw that way. The Lord sees all things with a perfect, omnipotent, omniscient eye. He knows all things because he has decreed all things from all eternity. The Lord has all power and he has all knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ is in complete control of everything, demonstrating that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, that he is God, the King of all the earth. He commanded his two disciples to go, where to go, what to do, and what they would find, and as fate would have it, You know that's wrong, right? As God ordered it, so they found exactly what the Lord would said. We can believe His word. If He says that, if He says that salvation is by grace through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way it is. That's the way it really is. He commanded these two disciples to go, where to go, what to do, and they found exactly as the Lord had said. All things are naked and open before the blessed Lord. His foreknowledge of all things and all events is based upon His eternal decree. His knowing before is based upon His decree of all things from all eternity. We read in Romans 11, verse 36, of Him, through Him, to Him are all things, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And then James says this in Acts 15, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. From the beginning. And I was listening to our radio program this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it reminded me of another scripture on this point in the message. Let me just read it to you. It's found in Isaiah 46. You know, it says there that the Lord had declared the end from the beginning. How can He do that? He's the King. He's God. He knows all things and has all power. Now listen to this. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like Me. Okay? The only just God and Savior. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient time to things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, I will do all My pleasure. And then He says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, He called that little colt for His purpose to sit on. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that would execute My counsel from a far country, I've spoken it, I bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I'll do it. That's the God that we worship. The only place a sinner will worship is at the throne of the sovereign Almighty God. We bow and we submit to His lordship, His kingship. We are told in Matthew 9, when those four friends brought that paralyzed man to be healed, and it says there that the Lord knew their thoughts. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. He knew their thoughts. In John chapter 2, He said, it says there that He needed not that any man should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. The Lord knows all things. We're told in another place that He knew from the beginning who they were that would believe on Him, and He knew who would betray Him. Judas was no surprise to Him. He was a reprobate from the beginning. Knowledge like this is the particular attribute and characteristic only of God our Savior. Passages like these are meant to remind us that the man Christ Jesus is not only a real man, but He's God over all, blessed forever. The Word that was with God and the Word that was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We believe that Jesus Christ is God, God manifest in the flesh. Now, the third thing I want us to notice is this. We have before us a good spiritual picture of the Lord Jesus Christ calling out His people in the Lord loosing this wild colt and bringing him to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ sitting upon him. It says in Mark 11 and in Luke 19, it emphasized there, never any man sat on that colt. In other words, it was an unbroken. No one had ever ridden that colt. Was a wild colt until he met the Lord. And that wild colt submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. This story of our blessed Lord riding this wild colt through the city is a picture of the Lord in his sovereign power, electing and fetching irresistible grace, calling us out and humbling us in his sight. We see the Lord display of his mighty omnipotence over all things, his power and providence. He arranges all things and all things in the affairs of men to work his eternal purpose. His power over the wills of men. He makes them willing in the day of his power. He said, "The Lord hath need of him. Bring him." We see his power over nature, over animals. He rides this wild ass's colt into the town where, and there's a lot of commotion going around. Animals spook easy, don't they? This one didn't, because he was under the complete control of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what we can learn from this. The Lord has all power to save sinners, his people, from their sin. He will conquer all his people, overcome them, break them, arrest their stubborn will, and ride them and use them for his own glorious purpose. Aren't you glad? He came to seek and to save the lost. He makes us willing in the day of his power. We can safely rest and trust our great God and Savior. With God, all things are possible. We can be assured that he is almighty to save. You remember back where it says over here in Matthew 19, when the disciples said, verse 25, Matthew 19, when the disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed and said, "Who then can be saved?" The Lord Jesus Christ beheld them and said to them, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Look at Matthew 21, verse 10 for just a minute. Here's a very vital question. Who is this? Who is this one that can save sinners like this? Well, he's the only just God and Savior. He is the one that is mighty to save. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? He that speaks in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who he is. He's the mighty Savior. Who then can be saved? With men, impossible. With God, nothing's too hard for the Lord, is it? He came to save sinners. I'm going to take my place right there. If he came to seek and to save the lost, by nature, I'm confessing, I'm a lost sinner. If he came to save the chief of sinners, I'm going to confess and submit, I'm the chief one. He came to save sinners. The next thing I want us to see, I want us to take a good look at the Lord's poverty, his humility as the Son of Man, as the Son of Man. It says there in verse 7, "And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a great multitude spread their garments in the way and cut down branches from the trees, palm branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way." We see the Lord's poverty, don't we? They cast their garments upon the colt. The Lord did not ride into Jerusalem on a white stallion with a custom-made saddle of leather, silver, and gold. He rode into a town on a borrowed ass's colt. He rode into town with a saddle made of borrowed clothes. Think about it for a minute. His poverty, his humility. In Luke 9 we read, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Poverty, his humility. When he was born, he was laid in a borrowed manger, a cow trough. Born in a cow barn. There was no room for him in the inn. He never owned a piece of land. When he crossed the Sea of Galilee, it was in a borrowed boat. When he died for our sin, according to Scripture, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Yet, as the Almighty God, he owns all things. You see his humility? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And yet, as Almighty God, he owns all things. Listen to this scripture. He says, "For every beast of the field, the forest is mine." Psalm 50, verse 10. "And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they're mine. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field. They all belong to me. They're mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof." He created all things by the word of his power. He owns all things. He sustains all things. Yet he willingly impoverished himself with flesh to accomplish our salvation. Now you talk about humility. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I love this scripture. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," rich beyond description, "rich in power, rich in holiness, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the next thing I want us to consider. Verse 8, 9, and 10. In Matthew 21, "Very great multitudes spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way." They're giving him, I don't know if this is where that red carpet, you know, the stars, they walk on the red carpet. I don't know if that's where this comes from. But they were making a path easy for him to ride down. "He strawed him in the way, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Messiah." When they say Son of David, remember that blind man said, "Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And these people are saying the same thing. Son of David, Messiah, the Lord. "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they're quoting from Psalm, you see the reference there, Psalm 118, verse 26. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Most High God." Who is this? Who is this one riding on the ass's colt? He's the Most High God. He's the Most High God. Oftentimes we've seen the Lord of glory avoiding large crowds, seeking seclusion. He was often in the wilderness, in the desert, never sought the public eye or called attention to himself. But now his hour has come. You remember many times he said, "My hour is not yet come, not yet come." And then when he prayed in John 17, he said, "Father, the hour has come. The hour has come." Now is the time when he comes to accomplish our salvation in a most public way. This is the fullness of the time, God sending his Son to put away our sin. It says there in Matthew 28, I'm looking for the word, verse 10, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved." All the city was moved. Now, if you look that word up, it has the sense of the meeting, the people trembled. The people were disturbed. I mean, they were paying attention. All the city was moved. Everyone sat up and took notice. Some were moved with wonder. Some were moved with joy. Some were moved with envy and anger. The Pharisees, look right down the page here. We read it in Luke 19, but right down the page here, look at verse 15. "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, They were sore displeased. Remember, they said to him, "Master, rebuke those people." And he said, if they don't praise the Lord, the stones and the rocks will cry out to praise him. Some were moved with wonder and joy. Some were moved with envy and anger. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has the same effect on all who hear it today. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to some is a savior of life unto life. To others, it's a savior of death unto death. It is only his grace that has made us to differ. The Lord of glory rides into Jerusalem on this occasion the way he did. As it says there in verse 4 and 5, all this was done that he might fulfill the scripture. All the Old Testament says someone's coming. To him give all the prophets witness. Spoken by the prophet Zechariah 9:9. Tell ye the daughters of Zion, tell them, God's people, God's elect, behold the king. Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Isaiah 42:1. Behold, the king cometh. He's meek and lowly in heart, sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the fold of an ass. Remember our Lord said in Matthew 11, all you who are laboring, heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. All this was done that the scripture might be fulfilled. He is the king that is come to accomplish salvation. He is the just God. He's the just one. He's the one who has salvation, who accomplished salvation. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood atonement, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lastly is this. I want you to notice the praise and worship given to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 9 again, Matthew 21, the multitudes went before and it followed, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh. Behold, he cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna, we know if you look that word up, it means, oh, save us. Isn't that our prayer? Oh, God, save me. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. Hosanna, save us. This is what all of us are in great need of, salvation. Salvation, we know, was found in Christ, is it not? Salvation, as we've said over the years, salvation's in a person. In a person. He that hath the Son hath life. Not in a profession, not in a pool. In a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's looking to him. It's looking to him for all of salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? When they brought the 40-day-old baby to Simeon in the temple, the Lord had told Simeon that he would not die till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when they brought him into the temple to do for him according to the law, to circumcise that 8-day-old child, Simeon looked at him, took that baby up, looked him right in the face, said, I'm ready to die. I've seen thy salvation. Salvation's in a person. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's Psalm 118 says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Save now, O Lord. Hosanna. That's what he's saying. Now I pray that that's the cry of our heart. Blessed. I hope we can pray in our heart. Verse 9 again. Blessed is he that cometh. Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Save me. Now. Today's the day of salvation. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. I don't either. May God be merciful to us. He delights to show mercy. I know that. He will have mercy. I know that. I'm going to ask him. I pray God will give you grace to do that.